Hey everybody, it's your boy Xerxes. I'm here. It's I guess it's a Thursday, or that means that you're really, really, really close to Election Day if you're a registered vote in the United States. As you know, like, this is important to me, but it's important to me because it should be important to all of us. And it's not like, oh, I got to do this because I got to be a good American or anything like that. It's very selfish. If we don't do this, if me and my listeners and people like us don't vote in these midterm elections and in off-year elections, non-presidential elections, if we don't continue not voting in them, stuff is just going to get worse for us. It's not like a very, like, I tried to write, normally I write these ad spiels out first, and I was about like, I don't want to do this. It's so hard to, I spent a long time writing those ads to make sure they're just right. I didn't want to do that this time because if I made myself like get it perfect, I probably wouldn't get it out in time, and that would defeat the purpose. So yeah, it's a sloppy ad, it's a sloppy plug, but hopefully the genuineness gets through to you. I wouldn't be embarrassing myself like this, and it is embarrassing. I don't like doing this. It's not fun for me. I feel like I'm exposing myself to all kinds of ridicule and all that. It's also really hard for me not to like insert my actual political opinions into this stuff, because that's what everybody wants to do and everybody should be able to do it. But that's secondary to the main issue, which is that people, like young people and youngish people in middle age, I guess I'm now middle aged, so not really young anymore, but we don't vote. And because we don't vote, the stuff we care about is getting ignored. The stuff that affects us and affects our futures is being ignored. Like, student loan forgiveness is like, that's on the chopping block because we don't vote in these off year elections. Regulation of predatory for-profit colleges that take advantage of people, young people who just are trying to educate themselves and get a better life for themselves. That stuff is on the chopping block because we don't vote. It goes on and on and on. And it's not the president who makes these decisions, people. It's like your state legislator. If we don't vote for this stuff, then nobody's going to care. No matter who you're going to vote for, like, nobody's going to care about what you think if you don't vote for them. And that's the only way you have power in a democracy. And like, you don't have power through Twitter. What actually has an effect is getting your ass into that voting booth and voting in the unsexy, the boring elections, and then putting on that little "I voted" sticker. And if you don't have, they don't give them out as much as they used to, you make one and bug your friends. Because seriously, like, things just don't get any better for us until we start voting like old people. So not voting like old people, but, you know, adopting the voting patterns of old people, which means get out there and do it. Justify me humiliating myself this way, degrading myself. So I'm done. I'm done with these. I'm only doing it for until the election. So you won't hear me do this again. But I do us all proud. Do what needs doing. Yeah. Yeah.
No. Now for some, this is painfully obvious, but hardcore gaming means it ain't for the novices. The main source to brain train your knowledge, and lay maintained with a course aimed at colleges. To HG101, we give the honor, thanks to Kirk Alada, Xerxes, the host of Proper, as well as Satanga, Cal and Bobinator, Booker Hart and others. Discuss and discover all the 47,000 games, and when they rate them, you can bet it's scientifically locked in position. Speaking of which, no system is obscure, and if they wrote a book about it, go out and cop yours.
Hello and welcome to HardcoreGaming101.net's Top 47,858 Games of All Time podcast, where we objectively, definitively, and scientifically rank the games that you nominate. My name is Xerxes, and I'm the show's main host and producer, and on this podcast we have three rules. Rule 1, all rankings are final, official, and scientifically accurate. Rule 2, you can nominate one game at a time via 5-star review on iTunes or Stitcher. Those are the ones we try to get to first. You can also go to bit.ly/rankthisplease and add a game to the slush pile and cross your fingers. We make no guarantees on those. Rule number 3, you can nominate games that have already been nominated, just don't nominate games you've already ranked. See the master list for yourself. It's at bit.ly/47kgames. That's bit.ly/47kgames.
Dogs power. Hey, dogs power. Hey, dogs power. Hey, dogs power.
Stop whining. Let's jump in the tub.
Hi, and welcome to another Hardcore Gaming 101's Top 47,858 Games of All Time podcast. We objectively, definitively, and scientifically are going to rank these games. Today's these games is Super Mario Kart. That's the Super Nintendo or Super Famicom release. The original release of the Mario Karts, the kart races, mm-hmm. kind of more or less originated in this exact game. I don't
Mario
think, like,
Kart progenitor.
Yeah. But I don't think this is the first game in which you raced in go-karts. This is just the, but this is kind of one of the first kart racing games as you kind of might understand them today. It was unsurprisingly developed by Nintendo. In this case, it's Nintendo EAD, EAD, which is Entertainment Analysis and Development, which is a very clinical, like, sort of name for a company
well,
that
how
makes
very
fun
appropriate
games.
That we're going to rank this scientifically, then.
Oh, boy, are we. And it was published by the least surprising information that you will learn ever, by Nintendo. And pretty sure that was globally. It first came out around August 27th, 1992, so kind of later 1992. That's Japan. But it didn't take long for it to reach America. And then over in Europe, we got it in 93. But in January, so that's all right. It's close enough. You know, takes a long time to make carts this good. And also carts this bad. Now, Mario Kart...
Wait,
is,
Cal,
yeah.
who's with us on this episode?
Well, you could stop me and make me introduce everyone, but
we
who really wants to... Yeah, all right.
I'm Satanga.
No, no, no.
My insubordinate subordinates are...
Satanga.
My license plate reads Word on the Wind.
And my username says Clade.
Yes, and I like that you've you know, knocked off part of it because you were so cut up at one point. I was a rough man.
So, I have a very large license plate.
I mean, you could get
buy a Hummer to kill
it. You know, you could probably get the four.
Oh, no, I don't skimp out on that.
You don't abbreviate.
I pay for
the
each
ultimate
letter.
Behemoth RV from that first season episode of The Simpsons.
See, it's actually just a clown car. It's just the license plate is huge. It acts as the bumper.
So, yeah, oh, bumper, that's almost close to this game. So we
transition.
Are Super Mario Kart, and it is a pretty famous racing game. I think most listeners would almost definitely have played it, but at the very least would be familiar with the game. You play as either...
At the very least.
Yeah, you've got Mario, Luigi, Yoshi, Malformed Peach, and others... And they race against each other in...
Hey, don't forget generic Koopa Troopa.
Yeah, I like this one because it's just got Koopa and Toad, and they're just hanging out. They're just like,
and DK
go
Jr.
those two.
And DK Jr. for some weird reason.
DK well, because... Jr. would take, like, many years to return to the franchise. He shows up in one of the later games, doesn't
he?
Oh,
yeah. Are they still waffling on whether Donkey Kong Jr. is the new Donkey Kong in Rare's games and Cranky Kong was the original? Because I'm still confused about that.
I think, believe it, isn't it basically over Miyamoto's dead body, I believe?
Yeah.
All he did not like the country games nearly as much.
yep.
But, no, so this is, this is an interesting one because obviously they just went, we need an extra racer, put Donkey Kong Jr. in it for some reason. This is... Because it's before Donkey Kong Country, right? So they just kind of surprise entrant Donkey Kong Jr.
Oh, and Bowser, I think we forgot.
I was like, yeah, they needed another heavy guy, because we didn't have... Did we have Wario yet?
No,
like,
we didn't have...
In canon?
Uh-uh. Yeah, Super Mario Land 2 wasn't out yet, I think.
Right.
Huh.
And I think my,
at,
this
at the very
year,
least, Wario did not have the notoriety that he would need to participate.
No,
in
apparently he was less notable than a Koop Trooper, so nuts to him.
Oh, they did remember Luigi, though. Don't forget us forgetting Luigi, that they forgot Luigi.
How's that Luigi?
No, I'm saying because we forgot Luigi. Don't
I
think that the
Luigi.
Game forgot Luigi. Did you?
Or did I forget to say Luigi? I didn't want
to say Luigi.
I didn't care about Luigi because he's just Mario. Except
all right,
green.
So are we discussing Super Luigi Kart here? Because
I'm getting over the best
parts
about this
game. You know, that'd
probably
be a better game.
Might be. Everything
honestly,
it looks like
feel
the
more like you're playing as Luigi rather than the hero of a franchise because it's
oh, that's just
you know
traction. What's that?
So basically,
but anyway,
this game it uses the mode 7 that the SNES is so famous for to basically present you with a track that you can actually race on that moves in a sort of pseudo 3D fashion. So it's a at the time, a fairly, like, pretty impressive, like, visual trick. You know, most racing games were more of the behind the vehicle, and then it's kind of like a straight-ahead track that just kind of curves a little bit, you know, using that old OutRun sort of style.
The Super Scaler kind of thing that Sega would do a lot.
Yeah, whereas Nintendo were able to use the Mode 7 mode in order to present a slightly different, like, more visually... it's not like...
The track actually looks like a track on like, you know, a map.
It feels, yeah, like more like a track as opposed to a sort of computer-generated,
yeah,
like,
yeah,
line.
This just nebulous road that stretches to infinity until it says otherwise.
Oh, that's why they went with go-karts, because go-karts use smaller tracks. Huh.
Yeah, that is why this game uses go-karts. And this game also, it has a special custom chip in it, although I think several other games do use it. Don't ask me the name of the chip, I'm not going to bother look it up. It's basically, it lets them do two Mode 7s at once, I think is the main feature of the chip.
See, I knew it.
Dual wielding mode 7. How can you go wrong?
Blast processing.
Because, yes, like, this game most famously probably has to play a split screen, which is quite a big deal for the time, in that you can play one and two player, which is pretty cool, since I don't think many other kart races could do that. You know, you could...
Yeah, I mean, you take it for granted nowadays, but I don't know how often, like, two players were allowed in these racing games back then. And then they involved
Hong Kong
Tour, yeah, and, like,
tell
eight
you guys,
like, play.
Like, a little anecdote.
Oh, yeah.
So, imagine me about 10 years ago buying a Super Nintendo, seeing F-Zero, and thinking, boy, howdy, I love racing games, and I love playing racing games with people I know. Guess what F-Zero doesn't let you do?
I know damn well what F-Zero doesn't let you do.
F-Zero is not a multiplayer game, listeners. So Super Mario Kart in 1992 was a bit of a technical difference.
Yeah, I mean, like, I think that was very important. They basically made F-Zero. It was very popular, very well received, and it's very good. And they went, well, we're gonna make a follow-up to that of some kind. And so they released the Mario Kart tie-in. Sorry, the Mario tie-in, Super Mario Kart, where they introduced an extra chip in there that lets them do split screen, essentially, because you can't do split screen in F-Zero because it uses Mode 7, and Mode 7 cannot be... You can only do one Mode 7 at a time. That's very important. That's how the mode works. But the interesting, or kind of, like, weird middle ground of this is if you play one player, you do not get the full screen. The game cuts the screen in half, and it runs like you were playing two player, but the bottom of the screen is just an enlarged map. That kind of,
or a rear view mirror.
Yes, or a rear view mirror, which I actually find more distracting than useful, to be honest.
Oh boy, how
yeah,
it gets like
so. This is
the way, like, the roads end up moving. It just kind of like you kind of get that driving into a road leading to infinity, but in reverse effect. And boy, howdy, is it nauseating.
Yeah, and that also goes for a lot of the stuff in this game, actually. basically, they decided to mix up the controls a little bit. They toned down the level of detail that F-Zero has, because F-Zero did it invent the air brakes that games that, like, hovercraft games often use, or were there others before it? Because it's one that I know was very much popularized, this idea of, like, you can hold left or right trigger and then that, like, kind of swerves your
drifting
hovercraft a bit. Yeah, like, it's a really nice, like,
I'm not well versed in the old Sega arcade games, but I can't believe that drifting wasn't a thing before F-Zero. I mean,
yeah, I mean, there's obviously
that,
like,
so
aspects of that sort of thing, but very much F-Zero has this. For Mario Kart, it's just a jump button. Does that actually let you drift in any way, or is it just a jump
button? There's two of them.
There is a drift, and it is entirely ill-advised. It is worse than turning regularly in every single respect.
My own anecdote with
this game is I was on Arcade Pit a couple years ago, and I ended up playing it against Smite himself, and I lost wholesale because I've played later Mario Karts where drifting is an amazing idea, and I kept drifting and just smashing into walls, taking turns immensely wide, and having even less of a feeling of control than usual playing this game. And that just reinforced further than anything that the way you control your kart in Mario Kart is to hit the brakes a lot.
Yeah, for a racing game, it is very... surprisingly slow pace. Now, I guess it's not fair to really compare it to F-Zero or most other racing games at the time, because those do emphasize speed, so I guess there's something to be said for something that takes a slower pace and emphasizes more control, but even then the controls are a little stiff.
So. Yeah, I don't feel like there's any reasonable amount of control with Mario Kart, because, like, if you're not hitting the brakes or letting off the accelerator, you're not making your turn. You're going into the dirt or the wall.
Or no,
what's interesting is...
Or the piranha plant.
I never thought of it exactly, but when you mentioned the way it controls, I have been go-karting just one time in my life. Once. This isn't like a story where I drove off like a thing and then crashed and injured myself. Like, no,
like, keep you saved my
track,
life.
Yeah, you just sighed.
Burst into flames and a magpie started hacking at me. Like, it was just the worst. No. But now that you mentioned it, I do remember that in real life go-karting, you actually do have to apply the brakes quite a bit. It is kind of, I think this game, I don't know if the team or anyone or Miyamoto, whoever was kind of like keeping an eye on things, had actually been go-karting or had heard someone explain the art of go-karting. But I do actually think it does probably approach a bit more towards actual go-karting if you have to brake a lot and take turns in a very particular fashion. I'm not saying that's good. I'm saying I think maybe they might have drawn some real-life inspiration, whereas F-Zero is very pure fantasy, and it works for that reason.
So, you guys want to learn something strange about me? I go go-karting a lot.
Oh.
Because that's so strange at all. It's actually cool.
It's, like, the funnest thing to do around here in this area of the country some days. So, I've done it quite a bit, and that's why
Do you ask the go-kart what its THACO is?
So, anyway, it really does feel a lot like go-karting, and that's, like, the first game, Super Mario Kart, actually feels a lot more like go-karting than the rest of the series does, and that's why I don't have so many problems with the control as everybody else does, because, like, oh, I know how to do this. I just go-kart.
I think that's interesting, and also why you can, I would say, very cleanly see, once you play this game, why they ditched at least some aspect of that. They went, you know what, let's make this a little bit more fantastical, because the actual art of go-karting doesn't translate well into this game, I don't think. And that's not just the track layout, but it's also the fact that you've got all these power-ups and, like, abilities, and the AI doesn't really care because they are just on a magic fixed line that just magically coasts them through the...
And they have their own proprietary tools that they use that and ignore everything else.
All racing game AI is kind of crap, to be fair.
Yeah.
I mean, like, you can accuse, like, the AI of being cheating bastards, but it's particularly so in original Super Mario Kart, where they can do things that you literally can't, like, throw eggs that shrink you.
Right.
So they have special weapons that you have no special weapons.
Yeah, that's what I meant by proprietary tools.
It's a load.
It's actually interesting because, they brought those tools back later on, didn't they? I think one of the Mario Karts, maybe it's Double Dash, gives certain characters have a higher percentage chance of getting certain items, is it?
Yep. That's Double Dash.
It is Double Dash.
Double Dash on.
Yeah.
Oh, wait. There's something about double...
Oh, GameCube. What do you say? Was it on? It's on GameCube.
I'm saying Double Dash on, as in from Double Dash for the rest of the
series. Oh, the rest of them? Oh, okay. So the rest of them do that? I have played them, but I don't really keep track of individual power-ups.
I know that Mario Kart 8, and actually kind of got some infamy about this, like, the AI actually gets the same tools you do at the same ratio that you do. Why you get hit with thunder and blue shells more often. There's always someone in last place going, yeehaw.
What I think Cal was trying to get at was, like, you can get eggs, but Yoshi and Bowser have a better chance of getting egg, or not, Birdo.
Yeah, I think that's in some of the later ones, I think.
Well, yeah, like I said, after, like, Double Dash, that starts happening. Like, Bowser gets better chances at things, and... Yeah,
which I think it's like that's cute enough, and you could balance that, like, in an interesting way. And this one, what happens is you're driving along, and then you've got, like, Mario, and he's there, and you're about to, like, try and get past him, and then he activates a superstar and just kind of drives right through you.
And proceeds to not give.
Yeah. Because you have to, and this is different to every other Mario Kart, you have to drive over spots on the ground that are in the ground, and they're one use, although you'll never use them all on a race, so it's okay. But, you know, like, they're physically, like, built into the level. You drive over them, and then you get your power up. It's not a replenishing, like, weird, like, box,
item box
with a question mark.
I always think that would be, like, really hard to program. I've thought about that a lot. Because, like, you'd either have to put, like, model or mode 7 items in.
Yeah, you know, it would have been...
I understand the decision, and I don't begrudge them that one, especially with, like, how... balls it is to try and peg anyone with a shell ever in this game, because trying to...
I don't understand how the shell works in this. Like, I just press the button and hope that it hits someone in about 5 minutes.
Basically,
it'll come back. It'll be back for revenge.
I want to say it's really hard to judge this game per se without factoring in the rest of the series after it, because it just feels like such a skeleton, a prototype to what Mario Kart would eventually become. Like, 4 or 5 years later, starting with Mario Kart 64 and being arguably improved for every installment until Mario Kart Wii effed it up, and then they got back on track with 8 a couple games later.
Mario Kart 64 is definitely, like, when I think about, like, people's nostalgia for the Mario Karts that I hear, it's usually for 64. Like, that's the one that people start their nostalgia at.
Yeah, when my family got, you know, 64 for Christmas way back when, you know, we got it with Mario Kart. And, like, that was a thing that my family did, like, every, like, Saturday or something for, like, 2 years.
So, I know you guys are older than I am. Did you guys play this one first or Mario 64 first?
I played 64 first.
Okay.
I had a friend who had original SMK, and I played it afterwards, and I kept going, yeah, I like 64 more.
Well, I've played Super Mario 64 before Mario Kart 64, if that's what you're asking.
Well, no.
I'm being a dingus. But no, I did actually grow up playing SMK. I was a very staunch Nintendo and Mario devotee as a kid, and this was one of his more prominent spin-offs, because Mario had a lot of spin-offs, kids. He's had, like, a genre in every game by now. Even real-time strategy with Kingdom Rabbids Battle Royale.
That is quite good.
Real-time.
It is. It's like the only Ubisoft game that I like in, like, 10 years. But that's
a decent game.
Because
I was just kind of curious, because I played, like, Double Dash before this.
Double Dash is kind of, like, quite advanced competitive. I think that's the thing. Yeah. Like,
wait, guys. Imagine Baby Park programmed for SMK. How horrible would that be? If anyone knows what Baby Park is, it's the NASCAR loop level.
It is a zero with no slash through it.
Yep.
But when you mention the tracks, I am kind of thrown off by how, like, some of these tracks are just the most nonsensical stuff in them. You know, it's like,
you kind of turn,
and then you kind of turn the other way, but then you kind of go, like, sideways, backwards, up, cross, forward, and it's like, what the hell? How are you supposed
to
remember
this? Watch out for the
this?
Piranha plant. Oh, it's there's a pipe F-Zero. In the middle of the road because whoever with paved this was an asshole.
Yeah.
Here's another thing about how prototypical the SMK is. The tracks really double up on themselves a lot. I mean, maybe it's not fair to criticize it for having, like, 3 Koopa Beach levels when F-Zero also had the same, but I don't know. Because the tracks are smaller, you really feel it more that the repeated environments do make it feel a little stale. Unless you get to Rainbow Road somehow.
I mean, like, the part that's going to make me feel like it's stale is the fact that every single track makes you do 5 laps.
Yeah, that's, like, the worst.
That's a thing that they stopped doing, except on Baby Park, incidentally.
I think it's like that. Yeah, it's like, it has the same, it kind of fakes it out, hides it a little better, but it has the same approximate problem that F-Zero has, where the AI is just kind of waiting on your ass to beat you, and it's the same with F-Zero, but because this one kind of pretends that it's a real race, it's kind of more noticeable, I think.
Are you talking about rubber banding? Because, again, that's a problem endemic to a lot of other racing games.
Well, I think it's different from F-Zero, to be fair, because I think F-Zero just kind of generates people behind you if you, like, go too slow.
F-Zero has a guy that's waiting to pass you, basically.
You just bump once, and you see that damn chick behind you.
Yeah.
That's how it goes. This one does a better job, but
because you can lap
more annoying
in this game.
I don't think you can really lap the best guy, though. I think that guy would.
In 50cc, I think you can, because I think I did it this weekend.
Pretty good at this game. Did you crash into a wall? Because I hate crashing into walls in this game. It's
no,
so
like I said, I'm kind of good at this game, so.
That makes sense. Tell me, just to check, because this is something that really bothered me about the way the turning works in this. Does a go-kart roughly turn the same way where, like, okay, because in this game, if you press, like, the turn button, right, because obviously you've got, it's a digital pad, so it can't.
Yeah.
It has 2 states, turn and not turn.
That's the trick. So go-karts are, it's sort of weird to say this, but go-karts are heavy because they don't have power steering. I don't know how much. Hopefully our listeners Some of them
they can look up power steering. I don't want you to explain power steering too.
No, I'm not going to explain power steering today, so I'm saying hopefully. But go-karts feel heavy. Like, you got to really crank the wheel depending on how hard you want to turn. And then, like what Word was saying, sometimes you got to, like, hit the brakes and everything. This doesn't these feel, like, lighter, so, like, you almost have to completely let off the gas and then turn on the gas again. This game, the controls for turning properly is almost like F-Zero when you have to do, like, hairpin turns. Like, you want to just let go of the gas, turn, smash the gas, and then you go right back into it. Unlike a lot of Mario Kart games where you're better off, like, braking into turns or drifting into turns and never really letting off the gas.
If you're not drifting every single turn in all Mario Karts after this, you're doing it wrong.
Yeah. So this game turns less like actual go-karts and more like F-Zero on the Super Nintendo.
Yeah, but I did find that, getting used to the controls is a tough one, and that is not exactly the game's fault. I will still blame it for it, because whatever, but obviously, this one, we're bringing in a lot of baggage into this, you know, we're bringing a bunch of arcade races, pretty much every kart racer that's completely different, and then this one is just this kind of weird, semi-realistic one, with all this cartoony stuff going on, which is what I think is kind of throws you off a little bit.
Yeah, no, how many banana peels have you driven over?
Well, about three until they banned me from the place.
Good answer.
I can't believe how many banana peels I got in this game. You know, like, you're hanging out for literally anything, and it's like, have a banana peel. Have a banana peel. So, I heard you like banana peels.
Word was kidding there, but there are actual real-life Lakitus in go-kart tracks. You can get stuck, and you have attendants come in and pull you out. That's a real thing that'll happen if you do enough
go-karting. Oh, I believe that. I fully believe that you get, like, some, like, freaking three-year-old that just drives into tires and can't figure out how
I'm sure there's also been a story where a lightning bolt tragically killed a go-kart.
Jesus!
I want to see that news story.
Just a lightning guess, bolt.
And to be fair, some of those attendants probably did have their head in the clouds, as it were.
But, the lightning bolt in this one is super powerful, by the way. If you get that, you're sitting pretty. It's crazy powerful.
You know something, though? There is one credit I will give this game above its successors. No blue shells!
Imagine this game with a blue shell, like, how frustrating it would be, considering how hard you have to fight to get anywhere in this, like, tracks.
I don't know how much of the game is rendered, though.
Here's the thing, it wouldn't matter, because none of the AI opponents would ever use it. They all use their own stuff. It would just be a thing that you have. That would just be your, screw the AI in front tool.
I just like the idea of somebody recommending that to Miyamoto and Miyamoto backhanding him.
I have no doubt that the blue shell was entirely a Miyamoto proposition.
I'm sure.
Either he went for it or someone said we should do this and he was like, that is so good. I'm so happy. Like, the player coming last can still be active by beating up the player coming first.
Hold on, though. Something you guys should know, and I don't know if you guys know this. This game, the first two games, they don't have the weighted item boxes for placements.
That's right.
So you can totally get blue shells in, like, first place and stuff, and it's really dumb.
Yeah, so this one, that's why I said, like, you get so many banana peels. You could be, like, you could be having a hard time. You could be struggling. And the game's like, banana peel, banana peel, banana peel. And you're like, well, that was a waste of time. Also, you have to collect coins in order to go faster, right? Like, that was...
Yeah, the coins increase your top speed.
Is that how that works?
Yep. Okay.
And the more coins you have, the higher your top speed. You lose your coins, and not all of them, but some of them. Yeah. And unless you're one of the heavy classes, you will get bullied off the track by the AI over and over. Like, it is not fun to play the light classes. They will just die.
There's a reason why in 8 I always play Rosalina in the bad wagon.
That's why you get good at this game, by the way, because I just like Yoshi, because Yoshi is the coolest Mario character, and you just get good at, like, snaking around guys.
Snake him, okay,
I snake in the big heavy piece of shit so I can smash other people against the wall while I do it.
So Bowser still knocks people, but you will lose your own coins. The AI does not deal with coins. It's a real weird one. I think we do have to move on to ranking it. It is a tougher one because I did not enjoy playing this.
I think we veered off the track a bit talking about the game. But then,
oh, veered off the track of Mario Kart. The devil, you say.
Wink. I just had veered... to make that shitty pun.
It's very meta, really.
Speaking of shitty, can I point out that one of the tracks in this game is like the worst visual track that I've ever seen produced by Nintendo ever?
Is it the chocolate level?
It's the chocolate level! Which it does indeed!
Oh, God, like, that is so juvenile, but just...
That level sucks, my guys. It's terrible. Everyone here, it's just the worst level, right? Like, it's brown with a slightly different shade of brown. Like,
wow, many years before Gears of War.
Many years before Conker's Bad Fur Day.
Yeah, it is just not a good level, and I'm not happy with the music in this, by the way. Do you guys like the music in this? I didn't. I thought it was really a poor effort.
It is, I think, the least soundtrack that Soyo Oka has ever composed. I much preferred her work on SimCity and Pilot Wings.
Yeah, like, this doesn't have that, like, it's just off. It doesn't feel right for a Mario game, and it doesn't feel right as standalone. It's kind of weak.
I think some of them get reused, though, because I just did that.
The tracks get reused, hence.
Yeah. I think they get remixed, but I'm not...
Yeah, remixed.
Like, compared to, like, F-Zero, which has, like, the rockingest tracks, like, I was really disappointed with this one. Just kind of... Yeah. Really phoning it in. Like, it doesn't even...
Well, I think a lot of...
everyone.
Is just... Because I'm betting, like, two Mode 7s really hammered into this, the Super Nintendo's power.
By the way, I think there was a Japanese F-Zero 2 that had split screen. If you...
Yeah, I think so. I was going to ask if somebody remembered that, because I keep playing it, and then I keep forgetting to actually try a two-player. So.
Yeah, anyway, so I think that one has the same chip that gave this one multiple
modes. Yeah.
By the way.
No, wait, I can play that on my thing. I don't know. Anyway, we'll talk about that another time.
The ranking, I'm looking at. The ranking. At. How many racing games have we done? Because I'm not finding many here.
Well.
One that is never racing. Going to beat.
Yes, it's Crash Team Racing, which is a... This game, influence-wise...
Wow, that is
yes,
a huge gulf.
Yes, influence-wise, this probably was more influential, but everything else will drag it down substantially, I think, because Mario Kart 64 is basically, okay, we made Mario Kart, and now we're going to make a good Mario Kart. To me, that is the Mario Karts.
We did one Top Gear game that ranked really low. Oh, and Cruisin' USA, that too. Cruisin' USA, 299. Probably place
it has to go above probably has to go above our mysterious ranking of 282 Uni Races, which is a racing game, but good luck finding that episode.
Because
you know, like, we gotta consider where to put this.
Okay, so let's look at our pieces. First off, it like made a genre,
sort of,
which is... Well, I mean, sort of. We could say sort of, but then again, I mean, Street Fighter 2 sort of made a genre by that mark.
So, excuse me. You'll pardon me, I'm getting over sickness. So, straight up, the place I'm looking at is 223, because that is beneath ZZT. And ZZT is, you know... a very simple in-concept thing that has a lot of things that branch out from it with, you know, a lot of ideas and, you know, almost everything that everyone made using that idea afterwards, you know, came up with something better than the original product.
Wow. That's actually a very on-point comparison. And we really lowballed Little Samson, holy crap. But, aside from that, I think that's as good a placement as I think we're going to get, not to end... try and end this early, but I do not know where the heck else to put this. We haven't done a lot of racing games, so I'll just trust Word's judgment in this case. What do you guys think?
Because, like, this isn't a good game, but it's not, like, a burning trash fire. It's just, like, it's one of those games that you look at and you go, yeah, I understand why this caught on, I understand why this is a big deal, and I understand why no one plays this in favor of the later iterations anymore.
It feels like Brick and Mortar without the steel beams.
Yeah, kind of.
Brick and Mortar.
I mean, that's definitely part of this one. I think the main things to consider is what it brought to the table was that it had a split screen, and it had co-op, which is might be the first one to have a... co-op in a, like, Grand Prix type mode. Like, it's not, it was Grand Prix. Whatever, Grand Prix is fine. It's an X.
Well, Prix is,
dear, don't make me have the, don't make me have flashbacks to Mexican Diablo 2 over here, Cal.
But, you know, like, this is the one thing that I think is, like, it's pretty cool that they did release a kart racer, or a racing game in general, where you can play the racing game, and also your idiot friend, or your idiot cousin, or your idiot whatever, is able to play it at the same time without messing it up for you, because they're just going to take the second player slot, and you can still play against the other karts. I think that is pretty cool. Like, I think that's a, yeah, that is, like, a decent addition,
see,
compared to its contemporaries.
I think overall this game just gets damned because it doesn't work all that well on the Super Nintendo. It's slow. It's a really ambitious Super Nintendo game. I don't know why it doesn't work as well as it does, which is why it's not, like, a really good game to come back to, because, like I said, it's slow. Its items aren't very fun. This one doesn't have the battle mode, does it?
I don't think so.
I think that may have been a
64 innovation.
Yeah, pretty sure it doesn't. This game didn't have the skyscraper in it, so obviously.
Am I getting confused? Did the Game Boy Advance version of this have a battle mode?
Yes.
It was like a
Super Circuit? Oh, yeah.
Okay, I'm like, yeah.
This game old!
It is
I
old.
Like Super Circuit okay. I think maybe they must have tweaked the controls a bit or something, because I remember enjoying that one.
It is a little bit, because it's got a good drift.
Ironically,
Yeah, Super Circuit's a serviceable Mario Kart title.
You know what? We can put this low, because then we can put Super Circuit high, because Super Circuit's good, and it does this game right.
So, 223?
Yeah, that's fine with me. Master of Magic. Is that game you really like, Cal? Master of Magic?
I really like Master of Magic. It's great. Well, I mean, like, yeah, I mean, look.
Oh, it's gotta go above a bad day in the middle.
What? Like, are you going to say, like, Master of Magic or Super Mario Kart is the more influential title? Like, oh.
Well, no, I just, like, bring it up, Mr. Oh, we can't put Dragon Quest V above your other favorite game after you that didn't sounds, say anything for wait, half
yes,
an hour.
The, what is it? Age of Wonders? Yeah, I was going
to
say Age of Wonders.
I just figured I didn't want you to surprise us with the last second. Wait, no, we can't do that.
I will do that. No, I mean, why would I do that? As I said, like, Super Mario Kart, the only thing holding it back from going
surprise,
quite high
nepotism.
Is that it's not very good. I mean, that sounds stupid, but, like, it's really influential. It's really important. It was quite
popular. Its legacy
popular,
is more important than the game itself.
And yeah. Several less scientific podcasts or magazines or other things have placed Super Mario Kart on top, like really high on top lists. And I think they're incorrect, but I can see where they made the mistake. They didn't account for the fact that the game is actually not very good. And that's something that we did here.
They didn't account for the game.
Yeah, how many of them had someone who actually did go-karting talk about it?
That's true. I am better than all of the internet.
I'll grant that you're better than IGN. Let's not go nuts.
Well, I didn't want to name them, but Lord, okay.
Oh, sure. Everyone names IGN.
IGN, come at me.
GameSpot did it as well. They said, you know, this is really great, I think. I don't know, they probably did. I read it online, as you do. So we're going to put it above Little Samson. Is that the...
Yeah, sounds good to me.
I mean, you know, I think that, yeah, like...
Fair enough.
Let's do it. Let's put it at 223, above Little Samson, and below ZZT, which is a little game that tried really hard, and I'm happy that it managed.
I adore ZZT so much.
Same. We have a lot of good games that are now low on the list because we just rank a lot of games above them. That's how it goes.
Well, you know, this is 47,000 games. I mean, how many games are going to be in the top 100? 100, right? That's like, what is that?
100.
Like, what is that going to be, like 0.047% or something? Maybe more zeros in there? Like,
almost like we didn't think this whole idea out.
You didn't. Nobody thought this idea out, and people keep asking us to rank games, and we will continue until we get Mario Kart into, like, the bottom 1,000. Here we go. Let's go, people.
Well, we have 13 Come on, guys. Name... games in the Jones Zone right now, so I guess we need more bad games to rank, like really bad ones. Send them in.
No, don't ask them for bad
yes,
games.
Please.
Stop.
No, no. More bad games.
No.
Cal has to throw that.
Satanga, get your hands off of Pandora's box.
I'm evil. What?
That's all for this episode. Special thanks goes out to our lovely co-hosts and compatriots, our booking agent Jeff Rood, our theme song MC Norm, check him out at Normally Retro on Twitter, and our technical assistant, video editor, and scriptwriter Ed Burns. You can support this podcast by making a small monthly donation at patreon.com/HG101. I know I did. By subscribing to the HG101 YouTube channel, and by following at GC9X and at HG_101 on Twitter. You can also hang out with us at our Discord channel. It's at bit.ly/HG Discord. But most importantly, help us spread the love of games by getting on iTunes, subscribing to HG101, and giving us a 5-star review. Do it because you like us and you want us to succeed. Until next time, keep keeping it real.